The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure Fletcher Page and Paul Dana Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, I'm always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. This is the podcast presented, as always, by our good friends over at 50 West Brewing Company. Serving up delicious beers that you need more than ever this holiday season. 4 long weeks of you needing to drink coast to coast. And Christmas Cookie is back at 50 West, which is just an absolute delight. And will also help you cope with the pile of trash that's been happening on Sundays.
Very delicious. But like the cookie jar, you gotta moderate yourself sometimes.
Yeah, you have to.
Flavored beers.
Yes, you got to moderate. Must moderate. Unless you're walking home.
And then you're good to go.
Yeah, then throw moderation out the window. Go to town.
Have a sixer.
So we're here to talk about the Bengals as we continue, you know, on the walk out the other day. We're sort of just talking about how this is, it's a tough time of year. For a number of reasons, you know, someone tweeted me after the game, or maybe even this morning, to a post about the analysis, which has we try to write everything through the lens of knowing what you want to hear about, and we know there's only one thing you want to hear about. So I try to write these game analysis pieces through the lens of Coach Watch and future of the franchise at this point, because that's where it is. But it was sort of, and I am not, he said, I appreciate what you do, but I am not reading anything unless it says Marvin Lewis fired at this point, you know? And I do think that's part of what we run into as we do these shows and as we write everything going forward, is people are just so much do not care about anything except for what happens with the coach, that it makes it really hard to really kind of almost kind of hard to cover the team almost, because there are important things that are happening on that front, but they're really insignificant when you have one giant elephant in the room.
Certainly. I mean, it dominates the conversation, especially considering that Marvin's also the defensive coordinator. So he's kind of, you know, tied himself to that whole entire side of the ball.
Yeah. He is the defensive coordinator as well. We still – Hugh's still wandering around as a special assistant to the don't know what you do. And so anyway, my point being, you know, we're going to talk about that issue because – You want to hear more about it, and you want to hear our thoughts on it, and you want to know some of the inside info on that. So we're working on it. It's a long way to go. I say the same thing we've been saying. I mean, I still think this inevitably looks the same way it did last year, and that is the season ends. The day after the season ends, you will have Marvin Lewis, Mike Brown sitting down and talking, and we'll see what comes of it. I do think it feels and looks a lot different than it did last year. I think, you know, it just feels like it's running out a little bit on him. It feels almost impossible right now a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't really know how you keep going. Anyway, so it was time to ask. So, because here's the kind of the big news that happened yesterday, and obviously it brings us a very obvious reaction from Bengals fans. Mike McCarthy, after his 13th season, is let go when Green Bay somehow gets beat at home by Arizona to essentially end their year. And it's the Ozarski jinx. He just kills people. He just shows up and people get fired. Last year, first ever in-season coordinator firing in Bengals history, Ozarski. This year, he goes to Green Bay. He's covering the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. First ever in-season head coach firing by the Green Bay Packers. Ozarski. He's the Grim Reaper. You don't want him showing up at your workplace.
I mean, he was in camp here in Cincinnati, so there's a little bit.
So he's still kind of connected to Terrell. So basically, he's a total Grim Reaper at this point. So he's on coaching search now, but the immediate reaction from every Bengals fan is the same. Why is Marvin still here? Why is Marvin still here? They did that. Why can't we do that? And honestly, what you saw is what that looks like. What you saw, you know, they did it after the game. They told him after the game. They put out a release, a statement, thanking him for 13 years and his whole family, and for all that they did for Green Bay. Won a Super Bowl there, multiple championship games. And then today they held a press conference with their GM and president and discussed what happened, put Joel Fieldman in place, and started moving forward to their coaching search. Man, that's what it can look like.
It's what it could have looked like after the Browns game is when that would have been the time for it. Or today.
You know, yeah, I would say either one of the. There's two schools of thought out there on this. One being, you can't do that to a Super Bowl winning coach. Essentially, you know, degrease the guy midseason, and by it's insulting, right?
He has a street.
Let him finish the year,
right? Well, he has a street named after him in Green Bay. So I mean,
right? I mean, you win a Super Bowl somewhere. That's a thing.
Right.
Right. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's accomplished a lot. Clearly, his relationship with Aaron Rodgers and a lot of people there disintegrated, and that's all a whole discussion for the Green Bay Packers podcast. You want to listen to Jim, go there. So I won't go into that, but the pros and cons of doing it now are interesting because the other side of this argument is that it's actually humane. It actually... Mike McCarthy is going to be in demand. And in fact, if this job came open, I would think that they would have interest. Even though some people would say he's the NFC version of Marv with the Super Bowl. That I think everybody here would take Super Bowl. But anyway, since conversation for another day, but saying you set Mike up to have more time, to be prepared to go on interviews, to prepare to figure out what he wants his next step to be. And the team has more time to figure out what they want to do philosophically and who they want to be. I can hear both of those arguments. I know the argument that will win out here because we've heard it. I mean, Mike said it last year. He was speaking to Jim, and he sat down with Mike after the season last year, and Mike said that he wanted to wait until he had all the evidence before making his decision. He's a patient man, as we all know, and he's patient enough to let the clock run out on the season before he makes a decision and feeling like he has all the evidence in front of him. And I get that. I get that too. But it's hard not to watch what happened with McCarthy and wonder, why can't the Bengals do that?
Yeah, I mean, I fall personally on if it's inevitable, you should do now. And at this point, I just don't know, especially considering that Andy and AJ's likely out, joining Andy and all those other players hurt. I just don't know what more evidence can be gathered here that's relevant to next season.
I'll tell you what, this point last year, it was pretty much I couldn't see any scenario where you'd have more evidence gathered towards next year. They were 4 weeks out, so they were about to get trounced by Chicago at home and then have the whole Schefter report in Minnesota getting trounced by Minnesota before those last couple games. I mean, you would have told me then, there was just no doubt. There was just no doubt. There was just no way at that point that you could bring him back. And I think that's where most people probably logically are looking at it now. But Lord knows things changed at the end of last year, and that played a role in him coming back for this season. And who knows? It's crazy the type of things that happen. It's hard to foresee, but that is part of it. So I had to ask Marvin Lewis, in light of the McCarthy thing, if he has gotten any assurances from the team about, hey, we're going to let this go to the end of the year and Mike and Marvin will have their discussion at the end of the year. Is that kind of the plan? Is that what's set? Wanted to know that. And here's how that interaction went with Marvin Lewis.
Mike McCarthy was let go yesterday after 13 seasons in Green Bay. Have you been giving any assurances by the front office here that you will be here to the end of the season and have the discussion?
That's your question.
That's my question.
No, and I wouldn't expect any or ask for any.
And that's traditionally the way it has gone, so I didn't know if that was something that had been discussed.
Yeah, at least of my worries.
Do you want to be coaching next season?
My job is to coach football team.
So I don't need to know my thoughts. I'm curious your thoughts on it, Fletcher. You've said a couple times this is your first Marv watch, so you know these. These are going to go on now for a little bit, and they're definitely exhausting for people that have listened to this type of stuff for a while now. What are your thoughts on just the general reaction?
Well, Paul, we got to get some energy going here. So
are we low? Are we low?
We're low, and we're circling the drain a little bit, but I don't see how we could avoid it. I can only talk about this by making a reference to the University of Georgia, which, as you know, I've become a avid follower of since coming to this beat.
You decided to get back on the UGA train. I don't know.
That's right.
You jumped off.
When I covered UGA and I covered the SEC at Kentucky, I had to not be a fan. But now
you're back in fandom again.
But I did cover the firing of Mark Richt, and it was obviously totally different situation, different level of athletics.
But they feel very similar.
But this is what, that's right. Yeah. You see where I'm going.
Yeah.
Mark Richt took UGA from a bad place and made them respectable, but he just didn't quite get them where they should have or could have.
They always had a loss that was dumb, right. And they'd always just
had a
never.
Show
yeah, they'd always shrink in huge moments.
And I think that there was a time in 2015 where you
get their ass kicked by Florida. Sorry to bring that up.
Or Alabama, right. Where you correctly identify for UGA, you're like, thank you for your contribution. You've been here 15 years. You're ingrained, but we like working with you. But we feel that this thing can be taken to this next step. And so you've got to, once you make that decision, you make it, and you put your foot in the ground and you get north. And so then everything else becomes irrelevant. And then the next most important thing is what you're going to do next. You don't want it to be Dan Mullen. You want it to be Kirby Smart. And so that's where my head already is on this thing. It's like, who is it going to be when they make this decision? Whether that's the Monday after the Steelers game or the Wednesday or whenever it is, the sit down with Mike. I feel like in my head I'm thinking, how are they going to go about replacing Marvin?
Yeah, I mean, well, we know they have a list. I mean, they always have a list.
Right.
You always have a list. You always have a working idea of who's out there and who you like and who you would be interested in if such a situation came in. They had one last year. They have one this year. Of course they do. You're always thinking along those lines in case you need it. And that will be an interesting conversation if it comes to that, for sure. I had a couple, multiple sort of family slash friend get-togethers over the weekend, Christmassy season type things. And a couple of people had the same thing to say. It's not going to be Hugh, is it? I mean, leader in the clubhouse, I would say. Due to familiarity, due to being different but the same, you know. And I know that is frightening for people to hear, but I would say if you were just starting, I'm not saying it will be him. I'm saying, like, obviously he would be in the mix. Obviously he would be in the mix. So you have to put that in play. But and a lot of these young offensive coaches, right. I mean, we talked about this. They've been picked over. It's just not as strong. There's not as many obvious candidates. There aren't Matt Nagy's and Sean McVay's and all of these types of guys out there.
They would have been hired last offseason.
Right. They've kind of, that trend is kind of a thing that's happened now, and they're just, it's not as obvious anymore who that next crop is. You know, I mean, even if you start talking about maybe the hot name you thought was DeFilippo and him and Zimmer at odds, and his offense is underachieving in Minnesota, right. and his play calling coming into question, and it's like, who is even out there, you know?
I like the idea that you put out into the air about maybe the next chess move being a defensive mind that's able to try to stop these new offenses. Or if you're like a Mike McCarthy type, he's got to take an Andy Reid-like transformation where his offense changes, because it was obvious that in Green Bay he got left behind a little bit. He just happened to have one of the best quarterbacks in the game to sort of bail him out with Hail Marys now and then. But
yeah, so, that's it. Yeah, McCarthy is interesting because he would be selling himself as the new Andy Reid. I mean, McCarthy comes in as the quarterback guru type offensive mind guy. He's been, Green Bay and the Bengals, the way they treat, they feel the same way about roster development. They feel the same way about homegrown talent. They feel the same, you know, the very, very similar franchises in the way that they operate. So, you know, if you were looking for something that a similar type of someone who understands the way you do things and knows how to operate in the way that you do things, you would look to McCarthy. Of course, it's just interesting when you have to talk about a guy that's only had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in his career having to come here and live on the other side of life. But who knows how. Anyway, that's all a very interesting discussion. I don't know what to make of Marvin's answer to that. I mean, obviously, he's going to continue to have this same kind of attitude about it. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore than we don't want to have to be asking about it, but this is the situation that we're at. This is where we are in things, and this is what happens this time of year when your team's lost 6 of 7 and 4 in a row, and you're 0-16 and winning a playoff game and all that stuff. So I sort of got the impression of there certainly wasn't any I'm going to sell myself to want to be coming back next year and I'm all in this for the long haul. That was not a part of the conversation at all. It was mostly diffusal. A whole lot of no comments. Don't want to talk about this. Don't want to talk about that. I'm just going to coach the football team.
I thought it was just another Monday.
Pretty much just another Monday. So that's kind of where, I guess that's where Marv Watch is at right now. If we're keeping tabs on Marv Watch, that's where that stands. I guess we can talk about Joe Mixon in the running game if you want. Does anybody want this? Is this what people want? I don't know. I can't exhaust my. We have 4 weeks of this crap.
So bad.
We have 4 more weeks of this crap. Assuming so bad. Something crazy doesn't happen.
I want to have fun and do things.
You can have fun and do things.
No, I'm trying, but it's just, you're right. I mean,
you just wouldn't say it. Look, this does not affect us.
I think it is.
This is not as fun as talking about playoff possibilities. I mean, this isn't as fun as that, but We got a trip to LA in front of us.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm hitting Los Angeles up. Redondo Beach, here I come.
Yeah, if this podcast was recorded at midnight on Friday, maybe we'd have a little bit better time.
Yeah. No, LA, fun and sun. I'm gonna take my white head out there, wear a hat. Gotta wear a hat.
It's responsible.
I haven't seen the sun much here lately, so it'd be nice to actually get a glimpse of it. Looking forward to that. Hey, good trip, good food. Gonna be a good time in LA. I'm excited about that.
That's right. Hey, here's why the Joe Mixon conversation, it just gets buzzkilled quick. Because you're going to tell me how great he's been, and then I'm going to hit you with that question. Why is he not getting the ball more?
Yeah. Nobody really has a great answer to that other than, it's situational. And I don't know. I just figured when you have a backup quarterback coming in, you just need to lean on number 28. And when he's giving you – when he ends up 12 for 82, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's hard. It just seems like it's one of those things where it's like, give him the ball and some, maybe even force it sometimes a little bit just to get that. This wasn't like the Saints game or any number of these blowouts. Until you got to the end of the game, it was close.
And two, the Jeff Driskel thing, the option read or maybe quarterback runs or any of that stuff, sounds like all that was negated just by the fact that he had run-pass options or run-run options, or he was making a lot of reads off what Denver was doing, and they basically just gave him a base, and he didn't run because he was making those reads. So, to me, and I think Doc made this point, he's basically Denver just dictated how Jeff Driskel was going to play the whole time then.
Yeah, well, they weren't going to let him beat him with his legs. They were going to make him beat him throwing the ball and make him beat them throwing the ball and the Bengals having to block, their offensive line having to block. And, you know, I guess there was some positive thoughts about the way Clint Bowling played, kicking out the left tackle. And how hard that is to do, and maybe I don't know if Clint's better at left tackle or left guard or whatever, but he was okay. Obviously, Von Miller beats him handily for a big sack late in the game, and you see that. But, you know, he's able to get out there a little bit, but still. Bobby Hart and Clint Bowling and, you know, CJ Uzama running over trying to block Von Miller and Bradley Chubb is not going to go well. And that's what they forced him to do. Line it up and truck it. You know, I mean, it's the one thing you've got going. And it just seems – over the last 4 weeks, Joe is averaging 5.02 yards per carry. And he is averaging 12 carries a game over that four-game span. When you've got a guy averaging over 5 yards per carry, he needs to be getting it more than 12 times a game. Because the times that he's getting – he's not getting third and 13 draw for 8 yards. He's getting it on first and second down because Geo's in there on most of the third downs. So, you know, and – Bill Lazor kind of talked about how everybody in the building is mad about something that they did or didn't do. When you talk about didn't run the ball, didn't give it to Joe enough, didn't throw it deep enough, didn't get to Tyler Boyd enough, didn't run the read option stuff enough. He said everybody in the building probably has said, no, you didn't do that about some one of those four things. And that makes sense. But to me, Mixon is the one thing that you can't do too little of when you have a backup quarterback. But yet again, really, you know, for a number of weeks now, we see that not really getting established to where just give it to him 20 times.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Unfortunately, though, like you're talking about, either playing behind the sticks due to having 25 penalties in two games, or when you're playing from behind 28-0, I understand the excuses for Joe not getting it, but you know, that's part of what muddles up this conversation. When you got a backup quarterback, when you got a guard playing tackle, you know, so this whole thing's kind of muddled. But I think at the end of the day, you got to find a way to just roll with him.
Much muddling. Everything's very muddled.
Muddled.
Yeah, a lot of muddling.
Well, you know, you like you said, you asked me about Andy Dalton like a few shows ago, and you said you would have liked to have seen Andy maybe playing for a different franchise to maybe, if you could answer the question about evaluating him. So I feel the same way about Jeff Driskel in this moment. It's like, well, he had, like I just said, he had a guard playing tackle, and he had a center playing guard, and he has, there's A.J. Green, you know, went down. So it's like, I would like to have seen Jeff Driskel, maybe not in those circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think Jeff's an answer, but
yeah, it's harder to judge. It's harder to judge him off of yeah. What we just had. I do want to bring in some of Bill Lazor, just because, you know, I think you guys enjoy hearing some of the explanations about some of this stuff, and I do think it's interesting. You guys so often have questions about play calling and why things happen and this, and I think it's an interesting conversation with Bill about some of those topics. So anyway, here is Bill Lazor sitting down with reporters on Monday talking about some of this situational stuff.
The last 4 weeks, Joe has really had it going on, yeah. On efficiency. I mean, he's over 5 yards.
I think our run is as good as it's been. You know, when you look at the numbers at the end of the game, you say you got to get it to him more. Others say you get, you know, anyway. And we have to keep ourselves in positions where we can keep doing that. And that was the plan going in. You know, they knew the passes that were planned going in were based off running the football. You know, they weren't to drop back and expose our guys one-on-one. But when you get in those situations, it's you know, it's hard to call play action when it's second 20.
Has that been a frustrating part of these 4 weeks, is that situationally you have this thing that is working so well, but you feel like you haven't been able to go to it enough because you've either gotten behind or you've gotten behind the sticks or things like that?
Yeah, I don't look at – I try not to look at the four-week version of it. In this game, certainly the score didn't change that, mm-hmm. probably until whatever nine – however much time left in the fourth quarter. It really wasn't – that wasn't a factor. It was just more how we were playing football and getting into the second longs and the third longs. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the other factor, too, you start at the 5-yard line. You go over and play 60 yards, but you start at your 5-yard line. Yeah. You still got real estate. You start at the 5, the 12. I mean, early on, the field position was brutal.
Yeah.
You have long fields you got to try to negotiate, you know, and it's hard to chunk them, you know, with what you were thinking. And, man.
It's hard to do both, exactly. But you have to, and that is also one of the factors is it is football, and whether you're running it well or not, and especially when you're running it well, you got to find a way to be able to get the ball over the top, and you know, we failed to do that. We had some explosive plays, but not deep over the top.
So at the beginning of the game, you kind of touched on this, but you know, it was a lot of short, quick passes and handoffs and things like that. Was that more of you wanted to keep Driskel contained, the offensive line, or just you saw how their defense tended to line up and you thought you could combat them that way?
I think early on, let's see how to answer this correctly. The plan was to base it off the run, so it was, I think the fourth play was a play action. He ended up checking it down to Joe, but we did have receivers down the field. That was an opportunity to take a shot down the field, and we just didn't get it. I think it was a mix of who we were playing with, playing against up front. You know, if we got into those second longs, we were trying not to therefore expose our guys just because it was second. I think the first sack was second 15 or second 19. That was the play AJ got hurt on. Actually, Jeff was going to AJ on it one-on-one, and they kept base defense on the field against three wide, so we felt like we had matchups. But that wasn't a quick. That was down the field, and we ended up getting sacked. So I think it was just a mix. Mm-hmm. It was a mix of, for Jeff, just making sure he was, early in the game especially, was getting the ball out of his hand, with the exception probably of a couple play actions, and just knowing that we're playing great rushers. You know, when you're playing those guys and you want to get a chunk play, whether it be a play action or not, I mean, someone has to take the burden of blocking them. you know, and so a lot of, most of the game, it's your offensive tackles, and sometimes it's the tight end, sometimes it's the tight end and back helping chip, you know, and I'd say on every pass you call, you got to keep in mind who's blocking these guys, and you try to spread it around.
Was the frustration level higher when Harris goes out, Pro Bowl corner, and they're down a guy, they're down their best cover guy, and it's like, man, maybe we could take advantage of some things here, you know, with them completed.
There's really a list, you know, of what didn't get done. And that's, I guess, that's on some people's list. I mean, really, it's everything. Did you get the ball to the guys against their backup DBs enough? Did you get the ball to your starting halfback enough? Did you throw it deep enough? Did you run it enough? You know, so someone in the building would answer no to all those things. And my
who would that be?
Well, no, a different person. Oh, at least my responsibility is to
list different yeah. Managers.
Trust me, I've heard them all, and there's probably others that haven't gotten to me yet. Right. But that's the life when you score 10 points and you lose the game. That's being the offensive coordinator. I understand that, and it's not, you know, I'm not here to make excuses. We talked Saturday night about what the plan was, how we were going to start the game. For the first four drives of the game, we tried very hard to stay with that plan. As you saw, we punted four times. We had a hurry-up drive, got a field goal, so it was something, and then came out and tried to get back to the plan and failed on that sixth drive. I thought the fourth drive we went more, or the seventh drive we threw the ball more, and that ended up in the interception. And the eighth drive, we kind of got back to it. Four of the five next first and second downs were runs again, and then ended up getting down to the touchdown. So we tried to keep coming back to it, even in the second half, because we weren't down by a lot. It was still a football game. Right. And that was our plan. And you can't, you know, my responsibility is to the team to doing what we have to do to win. And you know, during the week, you formulate that strategy with Coach Lewis, and that's how you have to do it. And then ultimately, I answer to him and Mr. Brown.
All right, there's Bill Lazor weighing in on a number of different things. Hope you enjoy hearing from Bill. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, I don't care.
Bill's a thoughtful dude.
He is a thoughtful guy. He's thoughtful, intelligent. He gets it. I always enjoy talking to him. I always come out of it feeling appreciative and definitely more understanding of where, even if I disagree. That more understanding of point of view and things like that. Let's kind of get to wrapping this baby up. What do we got going on? We got, well, 50 West, you need to know, this time of year, 50 is a perfect place to do your friend get-togethers, your Christmas get-togethers, because you can go down. Well, first of all, you can go to the restaurant, eat great food. They've got space there. Or go over to the Pro Works, where there's tons of space, great beers. I mentioned the Christmas cookie earlier. It is definitely a favorite in the Danner household. But also, so many delicious beers they've got on tap down there. Always food that you can eat. Just a great place to go if you're looking to get together, hang out in the Christmas, get in the Christmas spirit. Do your secret Santa exchange. Are you in any secret Santas?
I don't mess with that. I like my Santas out in the open.
Mall Santas? You prefer a mall Santa over a secret Santa?
You really pinned me in with that one.
Yeah. What's worse? What's worse, mall Santa or secret Santa?
Mall Santa.
Mall Santa is the worst Santa?
I think so.
Mall Santa with a line is like where you've got all the kids, and this comes from a dad, but all those kids waiting, having to wait to go see this Santa who, oh, dude, that is a bad experience and a bad life.
That's like a waiver wire Santa, too. I feel like the mall Santa quickly becoming obsolete, I would imagine.
As malls become obsolete.
Yeah, online shopping just crush it.
Yeah. Can Amazon send you a Santa?
Online shopping Santa.
Yeah. Like, dude, Amazon just ships you a Santa that just shows up at your front porch. You know, you tell Santa what you want. He gets back in his truck, drives off.
That sounds like this is going to end disastrously. Yeah.
Oh, it's just a scary man in a suit shows up on your porch, and you have to put your kid in his lap.
And like, come on right
and
in
then
here.
He, then he gets back. Come on out, and then he gets back into his truck. Yeah, I don't see how this goes wrong. I think this is a good idea. I think we're onto something.
This could be a side hustle for us.
Side hustle, Amazon truck Santa.
This is side hustle idea number 27.
Number 27. It's no maple syrup company, but it's pretty
good. Hey, as we get deeper into MarvWatch and we run out of things to talk about, I've got some big ideas out there. I want to throw up on the wall for people.
Do people
to listen
know
to.
That you are on the ground floor of a maple syrup conglomerate?
Not yet. Now we haven't had our launch party.
Oh, okay.
But we're starting to gather everything. Social media and everything's going to be big. So
it's going
to
be big. If you're in the if you like maple syrup, just know this is the podcast for you.
It's coming.
It's all coming. Be excited about that. People are so confused. anyway, so yeah, all right. Do you have Today in Kanye, by the way?
No.
No. Yeah, I mean, we've got so much time to fill, and you don't have Today in Kanye. I am positive that something stupid is going on with Kanye West, because it always is. There's got to be something. Is he just laying low? You know how he does? Likes to lay low. That's a Kanye thing to do. Just chill in the cut, not do anything or say anything outrageous. Nothing? How is Kanye not in the news?
Well, he's doing some things, but I just don't know that it's that interesting. There's some things about him. The most clicked on thing is Kanye West gets goofy posing alongside wife Kim Kardashian. That is
goofy.
I mean, at this point, I mean, if he's not making news, then he just has to show up somewhere and they say he looks some type of way.
Yeah, that is news. When he looks goofy in a picture, that is going to get how many clicks has that got? What's the Google search say?
Well, I mean, there's 32 million stories
about Kanye.
So
that's all you need to know about that, and that's at the top. That's the top. Well, that's good. That's good stuff for today, Kanye. St. Nick's Day coming up. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you have a stocking up in your radon house?
We do. We've got the two stockings for the humans that live there. We got two stockings for the dogs. It's all cute.
Yeah. So do you go? Do you typically go bone? Like bone in the dog stockings?
Yeah. Well, that's the
small bone. Are their stockings as the same size or smaller than yours?
You know what? I do. I feel like a failure as a dog father because I have two Australian Shepherds, and I thought during halftime, whenever you tweeted about Frisbee dogs,
yeah,
even the Frisbee dogs were disappointing at Broncos Bengals.
They were awful.
I was thinking, man, my dogs have the ability to do that, and I have not coached them to do that.
No, and you should have.
Yeah, because then that could be a side hustle.
Yeah, that'd be a good side
Bandanas,
hustle.
Bandanas, Frisbees, Instagram dogs are there. It's real.
Yeah, no, they really are. There's lots of that out there. My dog has an Instagram account.
Yeah, they follow each
they
other.
They do
right?
follow each other.
It's pretty nice.
Absolutely, it is nice. So, you didn't answer the question though.
What was the question?
Are the stockings for the dogs as big as the stockings for
no,
the humans?
They're not.
No, you just kick them down. You let them know that they are a lower rung of beating heart than you are.
I'm the alpha in our house.
Clearly, so is your stocking the biggest?
Oh, it's so big. No, it's the same size as my fiance now.
Yes.
It's a life event that's happened since I started this
that's
podcast
true.
With you.
It's true.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
No. I always, some people, you know, like to think of dogs as on the same level as them and part of their family. And some of those like to kick those dogs and let them know that they're small and not as important as you are.
We treat our dogs what you, like
that's
kids.
What, yeah.
It's sad how well those dogs
well,
are treated.
I look forward to hearing what St. Nick has brought to your dogs. What were your dogs' names again?
Mate and Bunk. Bunk is named after a character in The Wire.
Okay.
I think people are at least maybe interested in what I've got going on in my life. I'm a radon
People are interested.
I have a maple syrup company. This is bad.
This is where we're at. We said this is what it's going to be. Which I know people aren't happy about that, but this is where we are, and this is what it's going to have to be, because we can only talk about why Marv was mad or latest Marv Watch drama so much. We run out of that, and y'all don't want to hear about anything else because you're too mad. And so we're just trying to lighten it up and find out some problems that Fletcher's having in his life and some of the good things, too.
We'll balance it out.
We'll balance it out. And if Radon is not a hoax, it turns out, Radon can keep you from selling your house.
That's a fact.
That is a fact. All right, to let y'all know what we have going on this week, Cincinnati.com, keep it locked there. Beyond the Stripes, Andrew Billings is going to come into the studio. We are going to fortify the chair to make sure it can handle him. When we had him on Beyond the Stripes at Holy Grail, it was the first episode of the season last year, and it was our first time at the Grail. And we had this new stage set up, and it was it didn't look the strongest. It was like, oh, well, are we sure about this stage here? And to the point that I was like, can we get that a little more? And it was fortified with coasters, and that made me nervous. And I was like, you know, we're about to put a 330-pound defensive tackle up on this thing on a chair, and it was like a high-top chair. Like, what? This thing needs to be strong, okay? Why did we have the 330-pound defensive tackle come for the first episode of the new stage setup? That felt like an error in judgment.
Yeah.
This, not the first go-round for our current stage, and we're well-fortified on four. Nice on the floor setup, no stage situation.
Battle tested.
Andrew Billings, good dude, and we'll be on the show this week, so you can watch that, of course, on Cincinnati.com. We'll have that posted up midweek. And plenty more to come. The Deuce will come at you later this week as well, as we're going to talk about how much better the Chargers are right now than the Bengals and all the other things that you want to know about that. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to the BBP, and we will talk to you later this week. Have a good night.